If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's go to our buddy Chris Franklin, who's been down at camp as well. We'll bring him up now. Chris, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, man.
What's up, bud?
What's up,
you fired up for the big open practice? Lincoln Financial Field, you get all the trappings. Get a little excitement going. The juice is blowing, Chris Franklin.
I like it a lot because it's rare. You know, they only have it for like 2 days. They used to have it like for 2 times, 3 times, what have you. Now they don't have any. They only have the 1 time. And it's an opportunity for a lot of families who don't have a chance to actually get to go to games or practices and see that. So it's fun to see. It's fun to see the little kids get all excited, like, because you never can't really go. So for me, it's one of my favorite days of camp, just to go in and see that and little scenes like that and get to get back in the lake again. So it's fun.
By the way, Jody would be thrilled if he were here. You got the birds chirping. He loved it. He loved when he went outside.
The birds chirping. Yes, he did.
It's funny because it was quiet. All this time it was quiet, and all of a sudden now everything in their minds is a fire up now.
Yeah, they're not overwhelming, Chris. They're a perfect. They're a perfect white.
I love it. Good ambiance.
Yeah, for the show.
I love it. Thank you guys. Thank you. And I appreciate sharing this with everybody else watching right now. And the lawnmower guy.
Early thoughts. Give me a standout for Chris Franklin, a disappointment, and a guy who's just sort of been there for you. Give me one of each.
Well, I think the standout guy that I think very much one has been for me, Jalen Hurts. I mean, it's a surprise. I know Jalen Hurts shouldn't be a surprise at all at this point in his career, but the fact that what we saw from him during OTAs and training camp and that version of him, to the fact where we see all of a sudden the guy who looks like 2022 Jalen Hurts, the guy who's able to the pinpoint precision, the guy who's getting the ball out of his hands quickly, about guys being decisive. I look at that and saying, you know what? He's the one that I really like. And disappointment wise, I want to see more out of Bryce Huff. I know it's early on, but I'm looking for that pop where you see him where he's making an impact when even though it was 7-on-7 and nobody was allowed to sack him or anything. I look at that as like, you know what? Why I want to see the guy that they're supposed to be a placer outside of Reddick, because you're going to need him a lot to get a lot of that pressure from the other side, especially if you want to have everybody do it well. So I think those are the ones reasons you can do that.
Yeah. Anybody just kind of there for you? He's just kind of skating along. Maybe not, you know, just kind of mediocre.
I think probably the way I'm just looking right now is it's tough. I mean, I could put Huff in that position right now. Secondary wise, not really. I want to see more out of Dallas Goedert. I want to see more attacks with him. I mean, that's not just there. I think this is a product of the offense where they're attacking more using the wide receivers and the running backs. He's not being targeted as much. So I think I want to see them. I put that more on Kellen Moore a little bit and Hurts a little bit. I just want to see more out of him because I think he could be a really decent piece. Because I look at Dalton Schultz in 2021 and 2019. So 2021 and 2022, the way they used him in that offense, he was a big piece. So I want to see them use him a little bit more in that to occupy the middle of the field.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Chris, I want to go to Eagles' first-round draft pick of this year, Quinyon Mitchell. He's gotten a lot of talk in camp going up against A.J. Brown, moving all over the defensive backfield, lining up at the slot a lot. What have you seen from Quinyon? It seems like it's been very promising, but what have you seen from your perspective?
Well, I like the fact that we were told when we first talked to Vic, yeah, he's going to be on the outside. We'll start about the outside. We'll probably make him exclusively there. And all of a sudden now you see him on the inside. You saw him a couple times toward middle community camp. He's doing the inside. And now all of a sudden he's done very well in there. And that's one of the toughest areas to play with. Because when you look at these, I think safety is the toughest in this scheme. And then I probably put one of the off-ball linebackers as a second. But the fact is you have to play when you play nickel and all that communication and everything you have to do in coordination with the linebackers, with the corners, the safeties, what have you. I look at that and he's playing very well. And the fact that to a point where we heard the reports of him going out against A.J. Brown and all that stuff. And the fact he's going across the middle, especially in that play, had to play man in an area he didn't really play much in college. The fact I see from him, I think when you look at the future, at least for this season, you have a lot of options to mix and match and to really confuse. And Vangio can make a lot of different schemes with him with in mind. And you know, that's right. You don't even have Cooper DeGene as well, too, in part. Yeah. So.
Forget about Cooper already. Out of sight, out of mind. He'll be back relatively soon. And you're right. There's a, you know, I think it's kind of strange, Chris, because you look at it individually and you say, I'm really impressed with Quinyon Mitchell. Everything Vic has thrown at him. I think those one-on-one reps with AJ, those are by design. That's not just rotations. And he looks not overwhelmed by everything. I think Rodgers has looked good. I think Slay has been Slay. I think Ringo has been solid. So I think if you look at everything individually, you say, hey, that's pretty good, man. They're improved. They got more talent. Things should be fine. You don't even have Cooper, as you mentioned, involved. And then I look at, we're through 5 training camp practices, Chris. And you know, you've seen a lot of training camp practices. There's no interceptions. Zero. And it's not just Jalen Hurts. It's Kenny Pickett. It's Tanner McKee. Will Greer doesn't get any reps to developmental, but throw the developmental in there. Zero.
It goes to the point, I think, is the emphasis of what Kellen Moore has in this offense. The number, and he's been saying, oh, it's 2.3. Well, it's not necessarily that number, but yeah, it goes to that. The quicker you get the ball out, the more you're in tune with the scheme and know where you want to go with it, and you target the right targets, it leads to that. High percentage passes that you don't put the ball in the risk that much, and you go from there. You continue to move the ball down the field. And I think when you look at the way to do it, it's almost watching this offense play is almost very reminiscent of those old school – The old school West Coast offenses, but they get a little bit. It's the East Coast offense that Doug used to use. So it's pretty reminiscent of that. You just throw in some of those weird motions and looks that we saw from McVay and Shanahan that everybody wanted. Like, oh yeah, use late motions stuff like that. So I look at that. I'm like, you know what? It's very reminiscent. And when you get that going, high percentage throws, lots of yards after catch. Where we see these guys have the ability to do that, and you see the plays that we have right now, and keeps the ball out of harm's way when you're doing that.
Yeah. You're muted, Xander.
Chris, another guy I want to ask about is Bryce Huff, big signing of the offseason. Haven't seen much, or at least I haven't heard much. Johnny Mac didn't see too much. Nothing negative, John said, but what's been your takeaway from what you've seen from Bryce Huff so far in this training camp?
I wish to see more, like the pass rush aspect of it. And he's going to – when you lose 27 sacks over 2 seasons – you need a guy who's on that one edge who can really pound. Well, and especially, and it's weird. I know everybody talks about the backside defensive end because, you know, you get around there, most important position, blah, blah, blah. That front side defensive edge rusher is very important because it just gets that, it gets the quarterback thinking because they see that pressure coming. That's what I think when you had that with Hassan Reddick, it really helped out a lot. So I'm looking at that and I don't see that real impact from him in that. And then also I wonder how much is he wondering about, did he get a mandate? Hey, you got to play the run a lot better than what you did beforehand. So he's thinking about that. And also the fact that he's new, he's getting used to that. So he's got a lot going on in terms of what he's trying to do and try to make an early impact. We haven't seen it as of yet. And you kind of hoping like he's trying to get used to everything and get better. Cause if not, you start to see more Nolan Smith. And then you got questions about that. Like the edge rusher part for me is the area where I think that's where there's a lot of question marks in terms of like guys who can consistently do it over time, especially at left side. So you got to hope that he does it. And if not, you got a lot of questions. You got a lot of problems potentially.
I'm very high on Bryce Huff. I've been high on. I think he's going to be a good player. I think part of Vic Fangio's honesty created some of the concerns about Bryce Huff because of what he said. But I think if you look at what Rick really said, he said, well, Explore is a good pass rusher. All right, period. That's it for me. I don't give a shit if he can be a flat defender, Chris. I don't care if he can set the edge. Hassan Reddick didn't set the edge well. Okay, some good, some bad. Hassan terrible in coverage, but he could get to the quarterback. As long as Bryce Huff can get to the quarterback, I'm fine. And Vic said that's his floor. All right, if that's his floor, let's go. I'm good with it.
And the thing is, like, I think with Hassan, I think people were okay with it because he was getting so many sacks with in terms of like setting the edge and that part of his game is like, all right, you got one of the better passes. All right. Roll over the. All right, cool. You hope. I mean, 10 sacks last year, that was good. For Huff, yeah, especially in the rotational snaps, that's good. You hope it carries over because he's going to be playing way more snaps than he ever has in his career next year, this season coming up. So you hope it correlates and just goes like it correlates like more snaps, he's going to get more opportunities, stuff like that. But it's still. My gut's rumbling. And I ain't from being hungry. I'm worried a little bit when it goes in.
Yeah, well, I don't blame it. You know, he's only been a part-time player. I get that part of it. But, I think he's going to be a good pass rusher. And if he's a one-trick pony, I'm okay with that. I really am.
Is there any concerns he's not even going to be good at that trick, though? I mean, if the trick is getting to the quarterback, I mean, look, I know he's playing against Lane and Mailata, and it's tough, but – you know, those are the kind of guys you have to beat when you want to be, you know, when you want to make an impact in games late in the season, in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be able to beat those types of players, but I don't think anybody. Well,
every once in a while, I'm not saying he's going to beat them every time, but you would at least like to see something. Like you hear Quinyon gets beat by AJ and then one time he stops him. You know it's going to go both ways, but I haven't really heard anything good, even on the pass rushing front on Bryce. And I'm not ready to sound the alarms, but I'm a little nervous that he's not going to be able to replicate, you know, what Hassan did here in Philly.
Well, I don't know if he's going to. Hassan was really good.
Yeah, 18,
and, 19. That was one of the greatest defensive seasons in Eagles history, what Hassan did in 2022. So what was he, fourth in defensive player of the year voting, Chris? Something like
that. Yeah, he was outside the podium. I was like, huh? Like, I'm still shocked that he didn't get it. He at least get it. But
he was still way up. He had a phenomenal year. And I don't know if he's going to be that. But can he be Hassan Reddick last year? Yeah, I think easily. And he's younger, cheaper, at least we assume. We'll see what happens with Hassan and his contract. But he wasn't going to play for his final year here. So it's kind of doesn't matter. So potentially a longer shelf life. I think ultimately they're going to be fine. I'm more concerned about Nolan Smith because he's got to ramp up because you need that rotation, Chris, and he's got to be a big part of it. He's done everything he can do. He's gotten bigger. He's up to 245, he said. He's working out. Even with Aaron Rodgers getting some knowledge from a quarterback's perspective, that's good. He got the shoulder. I think that's the biggest thing. He got it fixed. Hopefully. If that shoulder holds up. But there's a lot of ifs in what I just said. Where are you with Nolan Smith?
I think I saw seen progress from what I saw last year in terms of the way he looks. To me, he looks a lot more comfortable. I mean, the guys, he's comfortable in his skin. I just mean on the field, he's more comfortable in, like, in what is expected of him. I thought that was a big thing as well, too, because when you look at him last year, it's like, he had the rookie wide eyes, like, yeah, he's still talking. He's still talking confidently, but then you look, it's like, the bullets were flying. He wasn't getting in there. Now, and another thing I thought that was really important for him as well, too, there were too many times last season where offensive linemen were able to get inside his interior part, and they were just having their way with him. And I think he's finally, and I asked him about, like, what are you doing about, like, training with your hands? Because I was curious about that. And you see that he's worked with that. There's some Muay Thai, there's some jiu-jitsu on that toy to try to help combat some of those moves that the offensive lineman does try to get inside of him. And so if he's able to continually utilize that and use it to his advantage and not let those tackles get inside of him, yeah, I think he can still get you some sacks from there. A good season for him, 5 or 6. I probably expected like 5 or 6 out of him. It's one of those things where you almost you kind of want them. I think you see more of the Mike Mamula stuff where you go ahead, he gets a lot of pressures, he gets a lot of hurries, impacts the thing. I like what I've seen out of camp. And it was a couple times he's been playing the left and right side. I've seen him get around a couple of those tackles a few times and it's affected that. Did he get the sack? No, but he was able to force the quarterback to get out of the pocket and run away from that as well, too. So I look at that and I feel more encouraged from where he was right now. I've seen progress enough to make you feel like, all right, you may have something here.
Chris, another position I want to ask about is linebacker position, and specifically N'Kobe Dean. He's the guy that everybody is waiting for him to make his mark on the Philadelphia Eagles. He's going into his third year. What have you seen from him? And then, if not anything from him, what have you seen from the linebacker position? They seem to like the combination of Devin White and Zach Bond. What have you seen from that position?
Well, I look at N'Kobe Dean, and I look at the one thing I learned from him I didn't see as well, and they didn't use it as much last year, but I saw he's a very good blitzer, like a very good blitzer. In fact, like, I know Vic doesn't like to do it. He uses it when he needs it, but to the point, like, you have a weapon right here. You can use it in the A gaps or B gaps. Why not use it a little bit more when you need to bring some extra guys? But I look at the way his coverage is all right. I think they're working away. He's working his way back into the conversation again, especially with the using Bond. I know Dean was working his way back from his injury from last year. He was doing that, and so he used Bond just to do that and get the extra snaps. I think when all said and done, I think Bond goes more as an edge rusher, but it gives you an extra option in the, as an off-the-ball guy, and I still think that's still good because you still have a lot of question marks if you're going to have N'Kobe Dean available. And the more experience you get Bond there, I have no problem with that. I wouldn't be – yeah, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Dean and White to start, and then you mix Bond in a little bit, or something. Unfortunately, you hope he doesn't get hurt. He goes there. But I like that one, too. I think he's settling down in coverage a little bit. He looks a little bit okay on there still. I think he's still working some of that handoff stuff underneath. But overall, I think he's going to be the starter when everything's when we start week one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think when we hit week one, it's going to be Devin and N'Kobe. And I think Zach's going to fit into the Van Ginkle role. And play both off ball and edge and be that flat defender because Julian Okwara can't do it. We know that. So I don't know. Vic obviously wants to use that position. I think maybe that's where Zach Bond fits, but we'll see how it shakes out. Offensively, wide receiver 3, should the Eagles give Britton Covey a legitimate shot? Because he keeps generating separation, Chris. More than those other guys.
I look at it like I'm shocked in terms of how effective he's been in that role. And to me, I still look at John Ross. And I know it's going with it. I still like John Ross as a potential candidate. I really do. In fact,
well, they seem to like him. Yeah. Well, the guy's unbelievable when it comes to, he ran a 4.22 for, he could be in the Olympics right now.
Yeah. I like to see him in the 100. That'd be fun to watch on the air. Yeah. But But unfortunately,
Devin Allen didn't make it this year.
Yeah, which that shocked me.
Well, torn ACL, he was.
That might do have something to do with that. Yeah, that might do that. But the thing with me is, even though I like John Ross a lot, I still think of Giants John Ross. I still think of Cincinnati's John Ross, where he's doing really well right now. But when the game starts, will he make a significant impact? And that's why I'm like, no, is he doing good right now, but it may pay for it later on. Britton has found a good way. He finds those soft spots in the zone, sits down, and he does a good job. And we know his ability to run because we see him as a punt returner, and he gets those yards after the catch. So I think he deserves a legit look on there. And I want to see him especially those joint practice with the Patriots, or like say a preseason game where they actually get the starters out. Maybe for like a series or what have you. I want to see him in there just to see if he can do it. And he's earned the right to, I believe, in there. Will he get the job? I think it's when they're going to rely on like Paris Campbell, mostly as that third guy, because playing the outside and also the slot. So
I went out of the box. That's boring. Like Paris Campbell. And, you know, listening to Britton, you know how smart and football IQ Britton has, and, you know, his attention to detail. The guy's got notebooks of special teams coverages, and he's when you heard him speak the other day, Chris, it was like he also understands the role. It's like, we're not going to get a lot of traffic as the third receiver on this team. We're not going to be balls.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Centric, he said. And you just got to make an impact when you get the opportunity to make it. I think the other guys are all like, I want the football, which is natural for a receiver. I mean, I get it. But it's really hard. It's like I always compare it to the utility guy in baseball who only gets to play once a week. Like, that's a trait. Other guys need to play every day, or they're like, they can't get a feel for it. Whereas the utility guy embraces his role, He's like, all right, I'm going to play one, and he's locked in. I think that's a thing. Am I crazy?
Yeah, Brayton Covey has said Mundo Sosa. All right, I like that. That's nice. I don't think it's crazy. I think there's ways you can get him the ball. I mean, especially how much Kellen likes to use Bunch. Maybe you put him in the slot and run him a whip route on the outside. You get him some open that way. Maybe he can be effective in that area. Also, I just wonder, can you get lost? Like, will he get lost? Unless, I know if you roll the pocket, you probably see it, Warren.
Will he get lost? He'll definitely get lost.
Yeah. You're looking around like, okay, yeah, especially if you try to go to the left side, you try to look over.
Especially behind, if Mekhi Becton's your right guard, he's getting lost.
Imagine that. You try to shift around, you try to change to like, you try to find a throwing lane, you got Becton, oh, great, here we go. And you got Lane Justin, okay, I'll try to look around that. And you try to needle pointing right through to Brayton Covey. Oh, great! This is gonna be fun. So yeah, I think there's little ways you can utilize them there. I just don't know if they're going to do that steadily at the moment at the start of the season though during camp.
Other big guy they signed this offseason, and we've talked about him a lot on this show, Chris Franklin, is Saquon Barkley. What have you seen from Saquon in camp so far, and what's your expectation for his role in this offense with all these playmakers all over the field?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I've seen so far is his ability to be one of those leaders in a way that we all know Saquon. We all know Saquon's background, his ability, his way of making impact plays. We all have seen that. It's the way that when you talk to the other players, the way that you see him on the sideline of really impacting, helping those young guys out, like guys like Will Shipley out. You look at the guys like you look at the way he's basically being another voice to basically get this team back around. That's the thing that stood out for me so far to this early point. And I think this team needs it. It's good to have a new voice in that locker room, a new voice to start doing that. Cause you need another voice in that captain seat as well too. You need a leader on his team. So I like that one too. And then look at his role. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets like 20, 22 touches a game. And you throw in Kenneth Gainwell for a few, and maybe you throw Shipley in a little bit more snaps than you did with Boston Scott, but you can put him in there a little bit more. I think he'd be an effective three in this offense. So I think we'll see a good year, a bounce back year in terms of numbers wise from Saquon, what we saw with the Giants, with the Eagles. And boy, I was talking about this beforehand with you guys we talked about gravity guys who would draw eyes and players toward them on this field. Now you got arguably three on this offense. Yeah, good luck trying to stop that if you're a defensive coordinator. Good luck.
Yeah, and just in the running game, I mean, we've seen it already. Early in camp, they ran an option, and Jalen fake pitched it to Saquon, and everybody went to Saquon, and Jalen just kept it. And Jalen looks healthier, and he's got more juice this year, and he just exploded through the middle. And, you know, you can see it the other way. Where Jalen's such an impact as the plus one, and all of a sudden Saquon's got some openings. So I think that's what Howie's thinking. But now I want to throw this out to you because I'm known as a Saquon hater. I do think he's a very good player. I think he's overrated. I'm very honest about that. yet, Chris Franklin, we've asked a bunch of people, and I'm going to ask you, no one expects more out of Saquon Barkley than me to date. I think he's going to have 1,300 rushing yards if he's healthy, which is a big if, and 300 to 400 more passing yards. So a total of 1,700-ish. Where are you with Saquon Barkley? I probably shouldn't have given you my number, but.
Yeah, I had more like 1150 rushing.
That's it. There we go again.
And I had more receiving 500, and that changed.
So you're
after
right in the same range.
Yeah, like total range. That's like the distribution different. Yeah. Because the reason I think so is seeing the way they've thrown the ball to the backs out the back so far, and that check down, the ability, like the more Hurts is checking down. I think that's one thing. Like, not to get into fancy talk, if you have a PPR, I like him a lot. And I like it was like so like okay, 1-2 on those down there. Out it goes. So I think I look at that. I think he'll have that one. I think he'll be amongst the discussion of being a top three running back again this year. I think it'll have that much of an impact, because it also helps that, you know, you'll see that. I think it also helps that it's going to be back and forth. That you'll see teams playing single high because they want to stop Saquon. All of a sudden, you'll see the passing for AJ and Smith, and they'll get their opportunities. They're like, oh, we can't get beat again, so they go too high again, and then Saquon's going to get his yards that way. You want to see that yo-yo all year. So I think that's where you start to see his effectiveness and impact and get his numbers down.
Now, I'll say this, because we saw a crap load of red zone work. It was weird. We had not seen one red zone period for four consecutive practices, which is very rare. Nick Sirianni used to start with day one red zone. Kellen Moore switched it up, and we got all of it on Tuesday. It was basically almost all of the practice was in the red zone, the team stuff. And there was a lot of Kenny Gainwell. Is that just – I mean, Nick loves him. He's got the Kenny Gainwell football camp. He broke out the T-shirt again. He was really effective as a pass catcher. Boy, that's going to upset some people if they use Kenny Gainwell in the red zone.
I think, also, we know what's going to happen. If they get to the one, we know who's going to get the ball. So I know, if you're looking for touchdowns, after that. I look at the Kenny Gainwell, like, I think last year, It was really rough because some of the stuff they were using that one too, and once it got predictable with it, it started that one too. He's shown flat, like the thing is with him is consistency, because he's shown flash like 20. I think in 2022 Gainwell, and I look at the guy who was flashing big time during those playoff games, especially late in the season. I see that, and I think when you look at the way that he could be using this, he's not getting, trust me, I'm saying is that he's not getting 800, 900 yards. So,
no.
But I think he's a guy who can be really effective. And I think he's surprisingly effective between the tackles more than he is like an outside guy who just like trying to do sweeps and everything else or screens or that way, like quick jet screens all that way. I think he's pretty effective between the tackles. He's not going to push the pile, but he's a guy who you can find, who can find a way, slither through a hole and get there and north, south, and you're good. So I see that effectiveness in him. Running his own thing, so to the point where I think we'll see more 2022 Gainwell as opposed to the guy who was okay. They try to throw a swing pass out to him. There's nothing really there. If when they already did throw it, and he gets stopped that way too, or they try to run an outside zone stretch play, and you're looking like okay, he's running, gain of 2 yards. And so I think they vary the looks, and I think he'll do all right. I think he'll be all right. Like this is a better to me. This running back core, I think, is going to look more reminiscent. You'll see them better utilized this season, I think, as opposed to last.
Good stuff, Chris Franklin. One last question for me. I'm going to go to our guys in the chat. We got a super chat. For the sake of the question, do a rapid fire because you kind of already hit part of it. But biggest takeaway from camp, and then the end there, he meant biggest disappointment. So if you had to go biggest takeaway, I guess, on a positive side, and then biggest disappointment from camp so far. Thank you, D-Love, for the super chat.
Biggest surprise takeaway from that one? The focus on conditioning, my goodness. The fact you've seen so many big offensive linemen running back and forth, more than I think someone's going to receive. I'm just like, what the heck? Are they going to still be around the 300-pound mark by the time they're done camp with days like today? Like, what's going on with this? Like, okay, yeah. I mean, I think that one too. When it comes to biggest disappointment, I hate to go back to it, but Bryce Love. That's my guy.
Vic's got everybody worried about Bryce Love. I don't think anybody's having questions. Before then.
For me, I had my questions back in OTA when the deal was done for him. I know you wouldn't have Hassan we'd be talking about right now. We'd be talking about Hassan 24/7, blah blah. He'd eventually have to come back because he kind of wants to get paid. So I'm like, all right, cool, deal with that. But
to your conditioning point, it's fun to watch Devontae run him. He's like the Energizer Bunny, having the time of his life. And the offensive linemen are just even and
you see him plying the hands on the hips of it. They go, okay, one more. All right. I'm surprised they're not running out fourth quarter when they're running back. Like, we can do that, like it's all high school and stuff.
And you know what? It's like everybody's probably pissed at Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis because it's all about those two guys They gotta play, and they gotta play a lot, and they gotta play well. And you know, they didn't play a lot in Georgia, so they weren't used to it. So
I'll say this quickly too. I still stand by this. The most important person on that defense is Jordan Davis this year, just because everything needs builds a collapse. It keeps the linebackers off, and it helps those edges too. He's the most important person on that defense this year.
Love that take by Chris Franklin there. Good stuff, Chris. Thanks for joining the show, man. We appreciate it. Good job. You heading down there tonight for the open practice?
Yep. Can't wait. I can't wait. I love that to see that. So if I'll well, see
you're
you
waiting, get to see me hobble around because I tripped over a tripod. So I'm limping.
Are you day to day, week to week? We got to put you on a pup list.
I think it's pup list.
I'm fighting through it because I got Nick's dog mentality, but
I like it.
Yes,
he's a gamer. See that gets you off in the draft, my friend. You're a gamer. You keep going through that way. I'm
Nick Gary. I don't have a lot of skill, but I'm gonna play through it.
Nick Gary. Sorry. Oh no, I mean, hey, welcome to Philly, Nick. Well, yeah, be a good man, man. Nah, I keep saying, if you need assist, let me know. I'll help you out.
All right, thanks, buddy. At C Franklin News, make sure you follow Chris on X. Read him at nj.com.
We'll be reading and following all your work tonight. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thanks, you guys. Have a good one.
There's Chris Franklin joining us on Bird 365. Good stuff from Chris Franklin, who's been down there. I thought he had some good takeaways. John, a great end there. With Jordan Davis, the most important part of this defense for Chris Franklin. I thought that was a great take there. What do you think of that, Jordan Davis being the most important guy on this defense?
Yeah, I would lean towards Jalen because I think Jalen's going to be a superstar and that's going to have more of an impact. But, and Chris understands Jordan Davis's role, which we talk about on this show a lot, keeping bodies off the linebackers because the linebackers are – a little bit weaker on paper. So he's got a very important role. And Bick has said it pretty consistently. You know, those are the two guys that's they're building the foundation of this defense on Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. So it's one and one A either way. But I think Jalen Carter is going to be a superstar. And I think Jordan Davis is going to be more. I've always said, you know, what you want is. With Jordan Davis is Haloti Ngata in his prime, that type of player. So depends what you're looking for, the splash, and most people like the splash more.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of it's on conditioning. Yeah, true. And, you know, there's much been made of the conditioning, so we're going to see how that looks. I think you're never going to be able to tell fully in camp, obviously. You're not getting the 40-50 play range like you'll get into a game. So it'll be interesting to see how Jordan Davis handles the role this year. I think he's going to have a big year. It's kind of a contract year for him. Not really, John, but like this is the time Eagles like to get it done would be after that third year like they just did.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, definitely they will look to extend him.
Yeah. He's going to have a big year. I think that's on his mind as well. And I'm sure he's a guy that's going to get some big money. So we'll see how he does this year. But interesting to see, you know, what type of money do you think Jordan Davis would get? Would it be in that defensive tackle range?
No, he's not going to get paid like the
It's tougher to quantify because of the position he plays.
But he will, you know, you've seen some more nose tackle types get paid. Those guys get paid. So it won't be the pass rusher level, but you know, NFL people are smart. They pay defensive tackles, effective defensive tackles. So he will, if he has a big season, he will get a very, very big contract.
Good to see. Can't wait to see how he plays this year. A lot depending on him and Jalen Carter in that middle. So we'll see what they're doing. Cornell James checks in. Xander, this season is going to be big for this show. Cornell, I agree completely, brother. I'm looking to have the biggest year ever on Birds 365 going into season number 4, covering the team. My first season in the chair. So I can't thank all you guys enough because me and John can be here and make 2 hours of content, but we could also talk into a void, and we don't. We talk to you guys. You guys are our loyal listeners. So every time you like, share, subscribe, tell a friend, that's what helps us grow, and we can't thank you guys enough. We wouldn't grow without you guys. So we appreciate your viewership, your consistency, and your loyalty to the show consistently. It is much appreciated. So we appreciate that very much. Johnny Mac, any final thoughts on this Thursday, man? It's August 1st, John. Can you believe that? August freaking 1st, man. It's blown by this summer.
Yeah, August, it's going to be about 95 today with, I think the heat index might get up to 105. So everybody, you're allowed to bring one water in to because of that issue. So realize that as well. Keep yourself hydrated. Yeah, it's going to be a hot one tonight. Hopefully the sun goes down pretty quickly. But yeah,
it's been pretty hot here around here to through, you know, through 7, 8 p.m. So practice is what, 6:30 it starts, right?
6:30. Who knows? They might even kick it back the opposite just to get it a little bit cooler. I doubt it. But so 6:30 open practice. Yeah, it's the only one. So enjoy it.
We had a couple people in the chat who said they were going down. So excited to hear what they had to say. We had the guy in the beginning who said he'll check in with me tomorrow and give me the update on what he saw. So we will have some fan journalists down there today, Johnny Mac, taking in what they see. Yeah. So we appreciate it.
Well, it's funny. They can tape the practice from the stands. We can't. So it's one of those things that drives me insane. Because the NFL is insane with this stuff. Oh, you can't take that. It's not just the Eagles. I'm not picking on the Eagles.
So. Yeah, no, it's not.
Teams all over the league, and it's like, come on, guys. It's not, you know, it's not CIA level stuff, but they think it is. So, and Hall of Fame game tonight. People are down there. Yeah. And I know Michael Clay said earlier, and I know we got to go, but he said, you know, especially the special teams guys, nobody's playing. Texans aren't playing anybody. Bears aren't playing anybody. CJ Stroud, you're not going to see him certainly.
Real quick, does that bother you at all? Like, no. Like I get it, but Caleb Williams, he's never played a down in the NFL. You're not going to give him a series.
Nope, not even close.
I disagree with that. I think it would be beneficial to the guy to get him out there, but I guess not.
Oh, it'll probably it would. I don't deny that, but it's just
they're not going to do it. You're from a reporter standpoint. Yeah. You're saying they're not going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The kickoffs. Everybody's going to be interested to see how they handle the kickoffs. So that to me is going to be the most interesting part. I'm going to be at the practice, but probably not going to see it, but run it back and see how teams start to handle the kickoffs, because that's going to be an interesting story this season.
Yep, absolutely. Well, good show today, Johnny Mac. Another day in the books. We'll come back our normal time slot tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m. again. For those of you in here, got a good crowd right now. We appreciate all you guys. Make sure you drop a like on your way out. Programming note for next week. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself. I don't want to go there yet. But next week, the Eagles have practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So Johnny Mac will be down at NovaCare Complex for 4 straight days. That means Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will have a nighttime edition of Birds 365. We will not have our morning show. I will be live on the channel. It won't be Birds 365, but it will be football 24/7. I try and get Johnny Mac in for 15 minutes in the car to give me his preview on the day. So we will do that. But just a programming note for next week, everybody. Remember, Birds 365 early week next week will be in the back half of the day. So thank you all for your viewership today. You guys have been great as always. Johnny Mac, great insight today as always. We appreciate you, sir. We'll catch you tomorrow. All right, man.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the practice.
Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the night, as Johnny Mac said. Can't wait to hear what you all have to say. Definitely leave a comment on the Jacob channel tonight. If you're there, I will be reading all of them. So thank you guys for the viewership and for everything. We'll catch you tomorrow on Birds 365.